Teisha in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara above Metzia Daf Samach Aleph. We're going to begin three lines from the bottom with the words Tanu Rabbanan on Samach Amid Beis. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Ida Gorbash, Gittel Bas Eliezer, and Louis J. Kessler, Eliezer Yehuda Ben Gershon, and also Le'ili Nishmas Reba Ben. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and success of all the Chayalim in Eretz Yisrael. They should bring back the Chatufim. They all should be healthy. Those who need a refuah shleima, meher b'yameinu, should have one, and there should be shalom in all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up Samach on the base, three lines from the bottom with words Tanu Rabbanan. If you remember yesterday, we started Perek Ezu Neshech, and we were discussing the differences between Neshech and Tarbis. So we continue along that vein. Tanu Rabbanan, we learn the following brisa: Eskas b'cha lo sitein lo b'neshech. The first part of the pasuk tells us that you shouldn't give your money over with neshech, and the second part of the pasuk says uvimarbis lo sitein ochlecha, and you shouldn't go and give over food with ribis, with marbis. Now, ein li'elo neshech b'kesef b'ribis b'ocha. This pasuk seems to imply the first part is talking about kesef with neshech and ribis with ocha. Seems to imply only for those specific aspects. So Neshech deals with Kesef, and Ochel deals with Ribis. So what about the other way around? How do we know Neshech be Ochel Minayin? How do we know that there's also this idea of Neshech, of biting, in regards to Ochel as well, that it takes a bite out of the person who is, with a food item, being asked to, let's say, he borrowed 2 saw of wheat, and he has to give back 3 saw of wheat. How do we see that this concept of neshech also applies with ochel? The pasuk seems to only say with kesef. So Talmud Lomar, because we have another pasuk that says neshech ochel. We have the pasuk that says, lo sashich liochicha neshech kesef neshech ochel. Neshech called the varisha yishach. So that's going to teach us the din of neshech, both in our pasuk that we brought down here today, in and then the other pasuk that says neshech ochel as well. So therefore, we have both words of neshech by ochel and by kesef. No, ribis b'kesef minayin. Our pasuk just said ribis u'bemarbis lo sitein ochlecha. What about ribis by ochel as well? So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomer, we have in this pasuk that we brought down, lo sashis liochicha neshech kesef neshech ochel. It said the word neshech kesef there as well. And therefore, that was unnecessary because we already knew kesef, you can't have as kasmucha lo sitein lo b'neshech from the first pasuk we brought down, so the second pasuk, which seems to again mention neshech kesef, is actually coming to teach us there's also the concept of ribis by kesef too. And this is consistent with what we learned at the end of yesterday's share, that there is a concept of both neshech and ribis by every occasion of loaning with interest, whether it's money or whether it's a item like food. So the person who is receiving the interest, the one who's getting the interest, so he's benefiting. That's the ribis part. He's being marbet from that, and the other one is being bitten, the one who has to pay the interest, so he's being bitten. He got, let's say, 100, and he has to pay back 120. Okay, now we turn to Samach Aleph and Aleph. We just finished off this drasha, and it said, if this word that we had, neshech kesef, was unneeded, because we already pointed out that there is neshech by kesef, imenu inyan l'neshech kesef, shahari kvar nemar, lo sashech liochicha, the first pasuk we brought down, so therefore the second pasuk is extra, so tneyu inyan l'ribis kesef, to teach us that it's not only neshech by kesef, but it's also ribis by kesef as well. Now, ein li'elo bilove. This teaches only one side, that the one who's borrowing the money, there's neshech by him as well. B'malve minayin. How do we know that the prohibition of ribis applies as well to the one who's lending the money, the malve? You always have the malve, the one who lends the money, and the lover, the one who borrows the money. Both of them have the prohibition of taking or giving interest. So how do we know that this applies to both of them? The pasuk seems to only tell us by the lover. It doesn't tell us by the malve. So there we have the gzeirah shava. Nemar neshech b'lover, v'nemar neshech b'malve. We have the two psukim that tell us neshech by the lover and neshech by the malve. And therefore, ma neshech omur b'lover, ilo chalakto bo be mekesef be miyocha, be neshech be miribis. So too by the lover, there's no difference whether you're dealing with money or you're dealing with an item like the wheat, or there's no difference between neshech and ribis, both of them apply. So too, af neshech ha'omur b'malve, when we have the word neshech by the malve, so lo tzach lok bo, we don't make any distinction, any differentiation, bein mekesef, bein b'ocha, bein neshech, bein ribis. So both by the malve and the love, we have both neshech and we have ribis, and it's same exact din, both by kesef and by ocha. and the extra word minayin l'rabu is called davar. So we have the extra words to come to teach us to include anything, even if it's not a food item, if it's not money. That's also included in the dinim of ribis. How do we know that? Talmud lomar neshech kol davar asher yishach. The end of the second pasuk that we brought down tells us anything. So this din applies to any item, not only money, not only food. Okay. Now Gemara is going to go and question, how come we need so many psukim to teach us this din? Ravina Amar, lo nashech bi ochel, v'lo ribis bi kesef trichli kra. In fact, you didn't need nashech by ochel, and you didn't need ribis by kesef, separate psukim, to teach us, because it's all written in the first pasuk that we had. Because, look at it carefully. The pasuk says, eskas b'cho lo sitein lo b'neshech, uvimarbis lo sitein ochlecha. The way we had darshined it was as the first part of the pasuk, kascho lo sitein lo b'neshech, and the second part of the pasuk was uvimarbis lo sitein ochlecha. And that's where we had a problem. We said only kesef by neshech, and we said only ribis by ochel. How do we know the other one? Ravina says, no, that's not the way to read the pasuk. He says, if in fact, if the pasuk had been written, which it's not, if the pasuk had been written, that's the first part of the pasuk, exactly as it said, but then in the second part of it, it said, the ochlecha b'marbis, instead of saying, if it had said, so then we would be separating kesef by neshech and ochel by ribis. And then you'd have the questions that we had, how you know the other one by the other one, and therefore you'd need to have the additional psukim. Kiddukamers, and then our question will get off the ground. However, that's not what it says. Hashtag, look at the way the pasuk is phrased. It says, eskasimcha lo sitin lo b'neshech, and then right away it says, ubimarbis. So read, eskasimcha lo sitin lo b'neshech ubimarbis. And then read it as well. B'neshech u'b'marbis lo sitein ochlecha. So, kari be'hochi, if you read it in the way that I just said, you have both of them on both kesef and on ochel. So, read it as kasmuchol lo sitein lo b'neshech u'b'marbis. Don't stop with the word b'neshech. Read b'neshech u'b'marbis. So that tells me the kesef is nos neshech and ribis. And then read it again. U'b'neshech u'b'marbis lo sitein ochlecha. That tells you that both neshech and marbis are in regards to ochel. So Ravina explains, you don't need the other psukim. But we brought down the other psukim. We brought down the brisa that said, v'ho'atana said, ne'mar zev and ne'mar zeh kamar. So you needed both of them. So what do you do with that? So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar." This is what the Rebbeinu would understand that Brisa. The Brisa is saying, "Elu don emar kara." If we didn't darsh in the pasuk the way Rebbeinu just said, you're right. I would have said the gzeru shava. Achshav shenemar kara. Now that we're reading the pasuk that we just said that the words neshech and ribis go on both kesef and go on both ochel. So then, achshav shenemar kara. The way Rebbeinu just said it, gzeru shava lo tzor. You don't need this gzeru shava. What says it's there? So what do you need it for then? Alexander Shava Lumley, you're right, you don't need it for this, but what do you need it for? There is Alexander Shava over there. So Gemara says, Lenesha called Dover Asher Yishach, you need it for that, to tell me not only Kesef and not only Ochel, but on anything else, there also is both Neshech and Ribis. So therefore, the law Kosev B'malveh, and that wasn't written by the Malveh, it was only written by the Loveh. So therefore, you need it to teach us that din. That's how we would have to learn it, according to Ravina. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Rava." Rava says, "Lomoli the kasev rachmana lab biridis and lab begezel and lab biona." Right now, as Rashi explains over here, why do we need all three of these isurim mentioned in the Torah? The isur that you're not allowed to go and take ribis, the isur that you're not allowed to go and do gezel, and the isur that you're not allowed to do oh no, you're not allowed to overcharge. Why do we need all three of them? As Rashi points out, yilamdu ze mize shebekulan chisorin mamon shemech sares chavero. We would need one pasuk seemingly to tell us, you're not allowed to go take away something that belongs to your friend. And with that one pasuk, we would know all three of these dinim, ribis, gezel, and onah. All of them are permitted because all of them are taking something from your friend without the right to do so. So that's what Rava says. Why do we need psukim telling me, do not go and take ribis, do not go and do gezel, do not go and do onah? So Rava says, tzrichi, you need it, because you couldn't learn out one from the others. Because rachmona la biribis, if you only told me, don't take ribis, I would have said, you know what, ribis is unusual, mishum de chidishu. Ribis is unusual because it is a chidish in that mishum de chidishu dafilu belove os rachmona. Even the one who's borrowing, who says, hey, I'm more than willing to pay the extra 10% to get the money now, and pay you back 10% in 6 months from now, nevertheless, that's a chidish to teach us, you're not allowed to do this. Now, that wouldn't apply to both Gezel and to Onah, because there, the person is not willing to do so. So that's not going to be able to be generalized out. If you tell me you can't take ribis, I wouldn't know that you can't do Gezel and that you can't do Onah. Because again, ribis is unusual. It's a chiddush in that even the one who's willing to have the ribis, to pay the ribis, the person who's borrowing the money, it's also for him. So I wouldn't know that by Gezel and by Onah. No, so just write it by Gezel. Because if you wrote the Gezel, if you wrote the lav, you're not letting go and do Gezel. So then I would have said, Mishum de Baal Karche. That's because the person who's having it stolen from him doesn't want it being stolen from him. But Aval Onah, in regards to buying something, aim alo. The person says, listen, I wanted to buy this thing. So therefore, you can't generalize from the lav by Gezel to say that you can't do Onah. And that's why you have to tell me Onah. You just tell me Onah, because Rahmana lab Yonah, if you told me the lab by Onah, I would have said Mishum de lo yada de mocho, because he doesn't realize he's being overcharged. As opposed to the person who's paying interest, as opposed to the person who has been stolen from, he knows that something is being done to him. So therefore, basically what Rav is telling us is you couldn't learn out from one of these three dinim to the other two dinim. Whichever one you picked, whether you picked the lab by Ribis or the lab by Gezo or the lab by Onah, you wouldn't be able to learn out to the other two. Therefore, tzricha, you need all of them. Gemara says, maybe, you're right, one couldn't have learned out the other two, but maybe two of them could learn out the third one, and therefore you didn't have to write it by all three, maybe just write it by two of them, and then I'll know the third one. And Gemara says, okay, which one? Hey, Tasi, which two should be written, and which one should not be written, that we can learn out the third one from the other two? So the Gemara is going to first try two of them and show you that those wouldn't be good, but then the third one, that will actually be good. So the Gemara starts off and says, "Lo lichtov rachmona la biribis. Don't write it by ribis, and only write it by gezel and by onah. V'tesa v'hanach, and learn it out from those two. So write the lab by gezel, write the lab by onah, and I'll know ribis." Gemara says, "No, you won't. Ma lahanach shekein shelo midas. Both of them apply gezel and onah. They are without the person's permission." So, Shalomi Das, he didn't say, sure, go steal from me. Sure, go and overcharge me. No, he didn't say that. But by Ribis, the guy said, yeah, I'm willing to pay you 120. You give me 100. So, therefore, you can't say, Tomai by Ribis, Dimidaita. You can't learn this out by Ribis, which is with his permission. Okay? So, Lo Litova, Bona Lab Yonah. So, don't write it by Onah. Just write it by Gezel and by Ribis. And I'll learn out, Betesa Be'anach. I'll learn out from Gezel and Ribis, also Onah. Well, it says you can't do that either. Because Malahanach, Gezel, and ribis shekein ein derech mekach umemkar bechach. Gezel and ribis, that's not normal business transactions. When you buy something, that's a normal business transaction. But gezel and interest, those aren't normal business transactions. And therefore, onah, which is a normal business transaction, you couldn't go and learn out from gezel and ribis. Oh, so that's why you can't just write it by gezel and ribis, and I would know onah. You wouldn't know onah. But the Gemara says here, by the third one, we could learn out by two and learn out the third one. Ella, the Gemara says, Lo lichtov rachmona la begezel. Don't write that you're also to go and steal. Don't write it by gezel, v'teis in anach. And you could learn out gezel from the fact that it writes it down by onah and ribis. Because here, there is no reason that you couldn't learn out gezel from the other two. Because what are you going to slug it up? The my parach, how are you going to slug it up? You're going to tell me, oh, ribis is unique. My ribis, shekein chiddush. Ribis has a unique thing to it. Well, guess what? Onah doesn't have a unique thing to it. So the ribis is unique, but the onah is not unique. And therefore, onah tochiach, the onah will prove it, because it's not unique. Mali Onah Shekein Lo Yoda Umachil. Oh, you're going to tell me by the Onah, he didn't know about it. Oh, by the Ribis, he did know about it. Ribis Tocheach, so the Ribis will prove it. And therefore, it can't be the uniqueness, the Chiddush of Ribis, and it can't be the Lo Yoda Umachil aspect of Onah. The Chazar Adin Lo Rizeh Krizeh. The Lo Rizeh Krizeh. Neither one of them's common denominator is a common denominator. And therefore, the Tzad HaShavish Abhen Shekein Gozlo, both by the Ribis and by the Onah, Reuven is cheating Shimon, right? Either he cheated him with an overcharge, Onah, or he cheated him by charging him interest. And therefore, he's stealing from him. Ah, once these two are both stealing, Afani Ovi Gezel, I also bring Gezel. And therefore, technically, you didn't need to write Gezel in the pasuk. So Gemara says, the obvious question, Amrei, in the base medrash, it says, so Hochanami, this sounds like a very good drasha. So therefore, Hochanami, that you don't need the word gezel, don't steal. El lav begezel lomeli. So why did the Torah prohibit us from doing gezel? We could have learned it out from Ona and from Innes. So the answer is, the Gemara says, L'kovesh schar sochir, to teach us that you're not allowed to withhold paying a hired worker. So the sochir, the one that you hired, you have to go and pay him on time. And if you don't pay him on time, if you withhold paying him on time, so then you're over gezel. Gemara says, Kovish schar sochir behedrik sibbe. Wait a second, the Torah tells us that. The pasuk says, Lo sashok sochir oni v'yevyot. You have to go and pay your worker who's a poor person. So you're not allowed to withhold the wages from that poor person. So we already know that. So why would I need the Torah to tell me, don't steal, to teach me this din that you can't withhold the worker's wages? So where it says, Lav or Olav b'shnei lavim. This is to teach us that there are two lavim involved. The pasuk lo sasho sochir oni vevyon, and then we add on an additional lav by telling us do not steal. So the Gemara says, well, why are you telling me that over here? Why are you saying that the second lav is over here by withholding the wages of the worker? Why don't we say velok bo beribis yona, that this, when it says do not steal, it's coming to say add on a second lav by ribis and ona. Why are you telling me it's by the schar sochir? Maybe it's by ribis and ona. So the Gemara says, because look at the context that it's in. This is one of the Yudgim Umidos, Rabbi Shmuel, we say every morning, Yudgim Umidos, Torah Gashbam. So it says, Dover, Halome, Binyo, no. When you darshan something, you look at it in the context that it's in. So we don't know what it means, do not steal. So look at the context. The context it's in is within schar sochir. So therefore, we turn to Samach Aleph, Omud Beis, Ubinyonu de sochir ksiv. As Rashi points out, lav de gezel, this that you're not allowed to steal, is lo sa shok velo sigzol. Don't go and withhold his wages and do not steal. Because oshek kivisha sar sochir hu. And this, therefore, is coming to add a second lav to withholding the wages of your worker, and it can't be used to say a second lav for ona and ribis. Great. Now the Gemara is going to continue and ask a whole bunch of other lavim that are very similar to the lavim that we just said, where one person is taking something from someone else that doesn't belong to them. And now we look at the difference between gezel and geneva. The Torah tells us gezel is prohibited, but there's also something called geneva. Gezel is when you take something forcibly from somebody else. Geneva is when you do something surreptitiously. Now, the pasuk that we have in the Gemara, it says lo signov, but Rashi points out that's in the Aseres Hadibros. And in the Aseres Hadibros, when it says lo signov, it means that you're not allowed to be azhara legonev nefashos. It's kidnapping. So therefore, the right girsa, which is, if you look in the Tosefta, where this is from, we're going to bring down in a Tosefta now, it really says over there, lo signovu. And that, in fact, is the girsa that Rashi has, and that's also the girsa that the Vilna Gaon says. So therefore, this should read not lo signov, lo signovu. Why do we need the Torah to tell me lo signovu? Because of Rachmana, lovely, after all, let's learn it out, that we learned that from Ona. And for ribis, you're not allowed to go take something that belongs to somebody else. So we should learn out that you're not allowed to go and steal lo tignovu from that as well. So the Gemara says, l'cha d'tanya, as we see in the following brisa, it says lo signov, and it really should be lo signovu, because as we just pointed out, the real pasuk is lo signovu. So it teaches us lo signovu al minas l'mekai. You're not allowed to go steal something, even if you're planning on returning it, but you're just doing it to bother the person. Mekai comes from the lashon of kitata, to make a fight. So you see that somebody's very nervous about losing something, and you just want to give him a hard time. So when he turns around, you take it from him. He says, oh, where it is, I lost it, I can't believe I lost it, it's so important. And you say, oh, here it is. So you give it back to the guy. So you didn't steal it for the purpose of stealing it. You stole it to give him a hard time. So you're not allowed to do that. Lo signov al menas lemekad. Even if you're not doing it for stealing purposes, you're just doing it to give the guy a hard time, to cause a quarrel with him, to bother him. So you're not allowed to do that as well. And lo signovu al menas l'shalim tashlum kefil. Now here's the guy's a tzaddik. There's a very poor person. Reuven's a very poor person. And he's a very proud person. He doesn't want to accept stalker. So you know what somebody says? Listen, I'm going to go steal something from Reuven. I'm going to let them catch me. I'm going to have witnesses stand there, and they're going to force me to pay kefil. Oh, I'm very happy. This way, I'll return him the item that I stole from him, and then I'll pay him kefil. I'll pay him another principal again, and this way, he'll have to take it because I'm not giving it to him as a present. I'm not giving it to him as charity. I'm giving it to him because of the din of kefil. So I'm doing this l'shem shamayim, that I can give this poor person money. So the Torah tells us, don't do that either. Lo signovu, amanas l'shalim teshul nekefil. The Torah says, do not steal, even when you're doing it for a good reason, such as to give a poor person kefil. So don't steal no matter what. That's why the Torah has to tell us, lo signovu. Gemara says, furthermore, amale revyeh mele revashi, Rav says to Rav Ashi, if from the paradigm of don't go and do ona, don't do ribis, we learn you're not allowed to take something that belongs to somebody else, so then why did the Torah tell us, keep honest weights? Lab the kosa rachmana mishkalos lovely. Why did the Torah tell me, keep honest weights? Wouldn't I know that I'm not allowed to do dishonest weights because of the prohibition against taking something from somebody else, from Onah and Ribis. So that's what Rav Yehuda asked Rav Ashi, and Amalei Rav Ashi answered to him to teach us Lutome Mishkalosa Bimelach. This is coming to teach us if a person goes and buries his weights, his balance scale weights in salt. So Rashi understands that that's going to make those weights heavier. So if you're using your weights to go buy a pound of food from somebody else, and you say, well, here's a pound weight, but it really is a pound and a half now because of the salt that's on it, so then you're cheating the other person. Others explain, Tosos elsewhere explains, that you're actually using the salt and it erodes away the weight. So therefore, the person who has a pound weight and he's selling stuff with this pound weight, but it's only 15 ounces. So he's giving everybody else less than they're really supposed to be buying. So therefore, Rav Ashi says, the Torah needs to tell us, keep honest weights to teach us, don't go and make your weights by putting salt on them either to weigh more or to weigh less. Gemara says, why would I need a separate pasuk for that? Hainu gezel ma'ayu. This is gezel. If I'm saying I'm selling something that's 15 ounces and I'm claiming it's a pound, so of course that's gezel. So Gemara says, no, to teach us lav or olav mishas asiya. This is teaching us that even before you actually steal with this weight, just making such a weight that is instead of being a pound is 15 ounces, or instead of being a pound is 17 ounces, so then just doing that, you're over the isser. And that's why it has to tell us, keep honest weights. Tanur Rabban, we learn further in the Braisa. The pasuk tells us, lo sasu ovel b'mishpat. You're not going to go and do injustice in your dealings. And this is in regards to Bamida, Bamishkol, Ubamisura. Amida, we'll see, is a measurement of a field. Mishkol is the weight of something, and Misura is a liquid weight of something. As we now dash in the Pasuk. When the Pasuk says, don't do injustice with your measurements, so Bamida means Zu Medidas Karka, Shalom Yimdod Liechod Bimos Hachamo, Uliechod Bimos Hageshavim. Rashi explains, let's say you have two brothers that are inheriting a field from their father. So you measure out the size of the fields. One you measure out in the summer months. When Rashi says, in the summer months, the rope that you're measuring it out with is moist, and it's going to stretch more, and this, let's say, 10-amma rope is actually going to be stretched to 10.5-amma. And you're measuring out this field. So each time you think it's 10-amma, you're usually measuring out 10.5-amma, so the guy's going to get a larger section. And the other one you're measuring out in the winter when the rope is dried up and it's taut, and it may not measure the full 10-amma. It may only go 9.5-amma. Or it's exactly 10-amma, and you're measuring them at different times. So don't go and measure in the summer and in the winter the same rope using measurements over here that could lead to an unfairness. So that's what the pasuk means when it says, don't do this ovel with your midah, with your ropes that you're measuring land. By mishkol, this is solid weights. Shelo yat min mishkoloso b'melech. Oh, don't take your balance scale weights or the weight that you're using to go and balance it against a certain amount of produce and have it with salt. As Rashi says, it will weigh more, or as Tosafot says, it will weigh less, and therefore don't use incorrect weights. And when it says b'misura, which is a liquid measurement, shelo yartiach, when you're pouring off, let's say you pour a glass of cola into a cup, so there's foam on the top. This is called askupa. A skuma. This foam on the top is going to make it look like you gave a full measure worth. But when it settles, so then, or if you wipe off the foam, you see that you didn't give them a full measure. So therefore, be very careful when you're pouring from your container into the other person's container. Make sure that you allow it to settle and that you don't give him foam at the top for that last little bit instead of giving him the liquid that you're trying to measure out. And the Gemara says, "Valo dvarim kal v'chomer." This word "bamisura," Rashi tells us, it is a generic word for midas halachi, for liquid measurements, but it also was a very specific liquid measurement, a very, very tiny one. And therefore, the Braisa brings down this kal v'chomer. If the Torah tells us to be very careful with this misura, "Uma misura shehi echad mishloshim." Now, the Gersa we have is shlosha, but it says on the side it should be v'shisha belug. So, this small measurement of misura is 1/36th of a lug. That's a very, very small liquid measurement. And yet the Torah tells us to be very careful that even this small amount that you cheat, if the whole thing is only 1/36 of a log and you don't fill it up all the way, you only fill it up 98%, the rest is foam, you're cheating him out of a very minimal amount. Nevertheless, the Torah says to be careful. Hikpid olav haTorah. Ah, kal v'chomer, how much more so when you're dealing with much larger measurements, such as lehin. A hin is 12 log. A chatzi hin is 6 log. Ushlish is a hin is 4 log. A revi'ah is a hin is 3 log. For all of these measures, the log, a lug itself, the chatzi log, or revi'ah log, how much you have more, so you have to be careful. If you have to be careful about a 1/36 of a lug, so then you have to be careful about all of these other measures as well. Okay, that's why we needed to tell us to be careful with these measures. Amar Rava, Rava says further, Lama li de kasev rachmona yitzias Yisrael beribis, v'lama li de kasev rachmona yitzias Yisrael gabay tzitzis, and lama li de kasev rachmona yitzias Yisrael b'mishkalos. This is very appropriate for Pesach. Now, why did the Torah include, when it discusses ribis, it says, be careful about ribis, because Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. Es kasvcha lo sitin lo b'neshech, o v'marbis lo sitin ochlecha, because, ani Hashem lokecha, Hashem otzeis, Yisrael b'yaretz Mitzrayim. Oh, why does that mention that? It seems to come out of left field. Likewise, when you're dealing with tzitzis, the pasuk says, ani Hashem lokecha, Hashem otzeis, Yisrael b'yaretz Mitzrayim. What does that have to do with tzitzis? And likewise, when it tells us about keeping the honest measurements, Moshe tzedek, Avdi tzedek, Eifat tzedek, Vin tzedek, Yeluchem. Why? Ani Hashem lokecha, Hashem otzeis, Yisrael b'yaretz Mitzrayim. What in the world Rav is saying is the Yitzias Mitzrayim brought down in regards to ribis, in regards to tzitzis, in regards to weights, mishkolos. So Rav is telling us a very important principle. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, I am that same God. Anihu shivchanti b'mitzrayim bein tipo shel b'chor l'tipo she'enu shel b'chor. Rashi reminds us of the famous Medrash that tells us that the people in Mitzrayim were shtufei zima, they were very promiscuous. So a woman might have had children from 10 different husbands. She has 10 children. And these children, her 10th child is actually a bechor to the 10th guy that she had the child with. And the 9th guy was also bechor. The 8th guy is also bechor. Now, to anybody else looking from the outside, the woman has the bechor, child number 1, and child 2 through 10 are not bechors. But Hashem knows that every one of them is a bechor. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Ba'atzmo, he came himself without a malach, no shaliach. The chod of the atzma, Kodesh Baruch Hu came because only he could differentiate between tipa shel b'chor and tipa she'enu shel b'chor. So too, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so knowing of everything. Ani hu she'asav lipara, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will go and be poreya mimisha tole ma'osa b'nochri u'ma'al v'osam yisrael b'ribis. Somebody tries to make a shenanigan. And he says, oh, this isn't my money. This is Chris the guy's money. And I'm the caretaker of this money for Chris, the guy, and that's why I'm allowed to go and give you 100 and expect to get back 125, because goyim are allowed to take interest from us, just like we're allowed to take interest from goyim, or sell with interest to goyim, and therefore it's not my money. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows whether it's your money or not, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to differentiate, are you a cheater, and you're really making believe it's Chris's money, but it's really your money, and you're giving it with interest, which you're not allowed to do, and or is it really Chris's money? And then you're allowed to go and give it with interest for based on Chris. Likewise, Umisha told me in Mishkalosu B'melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, did you or did you not try to cheat your weights by adding the salt to make them either heavier like Rashi or eroded away like Tosos? And likewise, Umisha told me, Kali Ilan Bibigdo Vomer Tchelesu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, is this really Tchelus or not? Tchelus is a very unusual and expensive dye. It comes up once every 70 years from the chalazon, which we today think is a certain type of snail called the Murex trunculus, and it's not easily gotten, but there were other types of dyes that were very easily gotten and could be looking like tchelis, and they were much cheaper. So a person is selling tchelis, but it really is Kali Elon, this other type of a dye. So that person, maybe nobody else can tell, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tell. That's why it says, I'm the God that took out of Mitzrayim. I can tell Bein Tipo Shel B'chor, L'Tipo She'enu Shel B'chor. I'm the one that's going to be able to tell, is it really your funds or Chris's funds? Is it really an honest weight or not an honest weight? Is it really tchelis or is it Kali Ha'ila? Now, Ravina Ikla L'Sura De Pras. Ravina once went to a place called Surah De Pras. Rashi points out, this is not the regular Surah where Rav was the Rebbe in Surah, the big base medish in Surah. This is another place called Surah De Pras. It was Surah that was on the Pras, as opposed to a Surah that wasn't on the Pras, which is their standard Surah. Anyway, Ravina went to this place, Surah De Pras, and Amalei Rabbi Chanina, Misurah De Pras, Ravina. And one of the Talmidim over there, Rabbi Chanina, who came from Surah De Pras, asked Ravina the following question. Why does it say, in regards to Shratzim, Yitzias Mitzrayim? Yitzias Mitzrayim, the cause of why did the Torah tell us Yitzias Mitzrayim in regards to Shratzim? The pasuk says Lozi Tamu. We just read this in Parashat Shmini. Why? Because I'm the one that took you out of Mitzrayim. So again, why did it say there Mitzrayim next to the eating of Shratzim? So Amalei Ravina sends back to this Rabbi Chanina, Misur De Pras, and he tells him, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is saying, Ani Yushiv Chanti Bein Tipo Shel B'chor Le Tipo She'enu Shel B'chor. I'm the one that's able to distinguish between this person, whether they really the father of this child or not, whose Tipa, whose Zera, caused this child to become born, so I can tell that. So certainly I can tell in the Osli Para Mimisha Ma'ariv Kirbe Dogim Temeyin Bekirbe Dogim Tahorin Umochul Yisrael. So I'll be able to distinguish between the people that are doing shenanigans. Again, he's claiming he's a kosher fish seller, but he really is mixing in the cheaper non-kosher fish intestines, and he's claiming that they're kosher fish, and you can't easily tell the difference between them. So we have to trust the guy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll know who's cheating, who's not, and therefore that's why it says by the din of the Shratzim, it says, similar idea to what we brought down in regards to the ribbits, in regards to the weights, and in regards to the tchelis. Now, Rabbi Chanina from Surah the Press says back to Ravina, that wasn't exactly my question. Amalei, he said, I know that drasha about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. I heard that as well. But I was asking, why does it use over here in Shmini with this drasha about the Shratzim? It says, Ani Hashem Hamale Eschem the Eretz Mitzrayim. It doesn't say, Hotzeis Yitzchem, Hotzeis Yitzchem, Hotzeis Yitzchem, like it said by the other three. That's my question. Ano Hamale Kokashali. Maishno Hocha Hamale the Kosar Rachmana. And every place else it says, Hamotzi Eschem. Why does it say here by the Shratzim, this Lashon of Hamale Eschem? So that's a good question. Ravina says back to Rav Chanina, Amalei, L'Nechetona Devei Rabbi Shmuel. Oh, your question was asked in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, and the answer is as follows. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, they said, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yomalei lo eleisi es Yisrael mimitzrayim elo b'shvil davar zeh. Now I read it the way we have it with the parentheses. The word Yomalei can mean as if it had said low in it. But I just read it in the simplest way to understand it. If it weren't for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Helesi es Yisrael mimitzrayim, for this one thing, it would have been worth it. Dayenu. She'ein mitamim bishratzim, die. It would have been enough for us to say, this is the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. So we can observe this din of shratzim, dayenu. That would have been enough of a reason to take us out of Mitzrayim. Now, why Bedavka over here? Why by the Shratzim? So Rabbi Chanina said to Ravina, so Rabbi Chanina Pras said, Amalei, umi nafish, agrayu tvei mi ribis, umi tzitzis, umi mishkolos. Is this such an important din? Don't eat the Shratzim. Is that more important than don't do ribis? Is that more important than don't have incorrect weights? Is that more important than don't take Kaliya Elon instead of Tcheles? So Ravina tells him, no, that's not what I meant. Amalei, af al gab delo nafish agrayu tvei. You're right, it's not a more important mitzvah. However, if you somehow mess up with ribbits or tzitzis or mishkalos, you don't lower yourself spiritually. But the shratzim, the isei lemichlinu, they are disgusting to eat them. And therefore, they're going to make you lower. And therefore, if you stop from eating these, if you don't go and eat these shratzim, you will become elevated. And therefore, that's why Bedavka, by the shratzim, does use a lashon of maleskam the Eretz Yisrael. By not eating shratzim, you become an elevated person. As opposed to just motzi eschem the Eretz Yisrael, you shouldn't do all these cheating by the dinam of ribbis or by tzitzis or by mishkalos, because that's just wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will know it. And here, by the shratzim, it's maleskam. Okay. Now we go back to the Mishnah. We quote the Mishnah. It said, the Ezu Tarbis. What is the definition of Tarbis? Hamar Bepeiros. We gave the whole story in the Mishnah about the Peiros. They bought it at 25, then it's worth 30, and then he wanted wine for it. So, Ketzad, Locha, Chemenu, Chita, Medina, Zov, Chule. So, that's what the Mishnah told us. Now, Mar starts off and says, Atu Kolhani Damrinon Ahashtalav Ribisu. From the fact that we say, what is Ribis? That implies that the first part wasn't Ribis. But we learned in yesterday's Shir that Neshech and Tarbis, Ribis and Neshech are the same thing. They're always present. So what are you telling me now? Oh, what's ribbis? As opposed to previously, we didn't have ribbis. We had ribbis before as well. So I'm a Rabbi Bo explains, no. Ad Kan Shel Torah. The first part of the Mishnah was talking about on the Raisa level of Neshech and Tarbis. And now, in this case over here, where you buy an item, now when he doesn't have it, it's not yet the Shar, and he doesn't have it, so then that's only ribbis the Rabbanon if you go and get it when it's later on. So you're buying it now at 25, and later on it's worth 30. So you're paying him 25 now, and you're going to get it at 30, so you're basically doing something that's ribbis the Rabbanon. And that's what Rabbi Avos is telling us. Ad Kan Shel Torah, the first part of the Mishnah was, I lend you 100, I get back 120. I give you 2 saw of wheat, I get back 3 saw of wheat. That's Daraisa. But when you do this, buying things at a price now, and you'll take possession of it later on, and it's not the shar, and he doesn't have it in his possession, so that's ribbis d'rabbanan. And mikam ve'el shel devrayim, that's ribbis d'rabbanan. That's what Rabbi Avo answered. V'chein amar Rav, Rav said the same exact terrors. Ad Kan Shel Torah, the first part of the mission was d'araisa, and from this point on, mikam ve'el shel devrayim. Rabbi Abba further darshens the Mishnah. He says, Adkan, we have the pasuk from Eov. Now, the pasuk in Eov doesn't say Rasha, but we darshen it this way. Adkan Yochin Rasha, the father, Rashi says, goes and prepares the ribis, the Yubash Sadik. But the father won't get any benefit from it. He'll die, and his son will be able to inherit it. Gemara says, Adkan Vesulo, this only applies by Dinam Durabbanan. It doesn't apply by Dinam Daraisa. Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. Elo Afilu Adkan. Certainly, by the din daraisa, yochin rosh of yubar sadik, and therefore, if it applies by the din daraisa, it certainly applies as well by the din derabban. Further, Rabbi Avoh Darshans, he said, ad kan ribis kitzutza. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about set ribis. That's called ribis kitzutza. I'm giving you $100. I expect to get back 120. I'm giving you 2 saw of wheat. Expect to get back 3 saw of wheat. And then the second part of the Mishnah, Mikan Ve'elech, is Avak Ribis, which is Ribis Dirabonon. When you purchase something now, even though the price isn't set up in the market yet, and the guy doesn't have it in his possession, so he's saying, I'm buying now this grain at 25 silver dinarim. That's what it's worth now. But when I'm going to take possession of it later in the season, it's going to be worth 30. So this, let's say, saw that I'm buying for 25 now, even though it's going to be worth 30 later on, you're still going to give it to me only for the 25. So that is ribis derabanan, known as avak ribis, the dust of ribis. Okay, now we introduce a new machlokis. When somebody, unfortunately, did ribis, so are you mechuyev to give it back or not? Or do we say, oh, you're over the iser, and it'd be nice if you gave it back, but you're not mechuyev. Basin can't take it back from you. So this is machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Elazar, ribis kitzutza yotza b'dayonim. This ribis that is on a daraisa level can be taken back by the dayonim. But ribis derabanan avak ribis eino yotza b'dayonim. So Rabbi Elazar says, if it's daraisa ribis, the judges, the basin, can go take it back. But if it's only ribis derabanan, so then you can't get it back from a basin. No, it would be the right thing to give it back. Guy wants to do tshuva, he should give it back, but you're not mechuyev in a basin to go and take it back. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan mar afilus ribis kitzutza, even the ribis daraisa, nami ena yosu b'dayonim. Even a basin for daraisa can't go take the ribis back. Once the ribis was paid, so that's it. You can't get it back in a basin, according to Rav Yochanan, daraisa or derabanan, according to Rav Elazar, derabanan. Now, what's the rationale behind each of them? So I'm Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says, my time to Rav Yochanan. Why did Rav Yochanan say you can never get ribbis back? Even in the rice of ribbis, you can't get back. So he says, based upon the pasuk, Yom HaKor, the pasuk says, B'neshech nosan b'tarbis lokach v'chai. Now, he says, if you took neshech and you took tarbis, are you going to live? This is like a rhetorical question. And the rest of the pasuk says, lo yichyeh. This person will not live. This pasuk in Yecheskel ends with Mos Yumas Dom of Boya. The guy's going to die. So, in other words, what happens if you gave ribis lemisa nitan v'lo lishavon? That's it. You're going to die. You're going to be punished. But you can't undo it. Basin can't go and take it back. Of course, the person can say, "I'm sorry, I give it back." But the basin can't go and take it back. All the basin can do would have the ability to go punish you, but the basin doesn't have the ability to go and demand the money back. That's the pasuk in Yecheskel that Rav Yochanan bases the shita on. We have other sources for Rav Yochanan's shita. Rav Adav Rav Omar, he says it's based upon the following pasuk. Omar Kra, the pasuk says, Al tikach meito neshech v'sarbis v'yoresim elokecha. Now, it means that don't go and take ribis or neshech because you should fear God. Lemora nitan v'lo lishavon. It means don't do this because you fear God, but not the basin can go take it back from you. Alternatively, we have a third source, Rav Amar migufe dekrosh miale. From that original pasuk that we brought down, the end of the pasuk, which I read to you before, Mos Yumaz Dama Bo, yeah, from that pasuk in Yecheskel, the end of the pasuk, it says, you will die. Huksha malve ribis l'shofchi damim. We analogize, we compare people who take ribis with people that go and kill. If you killed somebody, you can't go buy off the base and say, oh, I'm really sorry, I killed the guy, here's $1 million donation for a new base medrash. No, you can't do that. Yichai misa. So too, Rav Yochanan says, this is the source. Rav's opinion of Rav Yochanan says, this is the source that just like with Shofech Damim, you can't go and undo it, so to Ribis, you can't go and undo it. So these are three different sources that we have, two from the same pasuk in Yecheskel, just how we darshan it differently, and then the pasuk from Vayikra, which tells us that this is Rabbi Yochanan Shita, why ribis can't be gotten back in a basin. Again, a person wants to do tshuva, of course he should give it back, but basin doesn't have the power to give it back. Now the Gemara says, and what is Rabbi Elazar's reasoning that Ribbis the Rabbanon can't be taken back, but Ribbis the Raisa can, Ribbis Ketusa Yosef with the Yonim? So I'm Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, my time of the Rabbi Elazar, who says that it can. So he bases on the following pasuk, the Omicron, we turn to Samach Bezum and Aleph. Pasuk says, "V'chei ochicha imoch," that you should live with your brother. In other words, the beginning of the pasuk says, "Don't take from him neshech or sarbis, fear Hakadosh Baruch Hu, yoreisam elokecha," and "V'chei ochicha imoch." So Rashi says, this is the beginning of the pasuk is "Koy alti kach mito neshech v'sarbis, yoreisam elokecha." And v'chei ochicha imoch, live with him. He's suffering because he had to pay the ribbons. So give him back his money so he can live without having financial difficulties. Gemara says, no, this is a very good pasuk that Rabbi Loza brings down. Rabbi Yochanan, hi, v'chei ochicha imoch, my ovid lei. What does Rabbi Yochanan do with this psukim? So the Gemara says, miboy le'lechid etanya, because we need it, according to Rabbi Yochanan, for the following drasha. Famous ma'isa shahoya. And this is discussed, very important, halacha ma'isa, what risks you're allowed to go and take for someone else. Shnayim shahoyu mahalcha b'derech. You have two people walking in the desert. Uv'yad echad mehem kiton shomayim. And only one of them has water, and there's only enough water for one of them to survive. So Reuven and Shimon are walking. Reuven has a container, a canteen of water, and the other guy doesn't have anything. And if they split it, they're both going to die. Im shosim shneyem meisim. If they split the water, they're both going to die. If Reuven drinks all the water to himself, it's his water. Im shosim echem hen magil yishav. He'll survive. The other guy will not. So what do you do in this situation? So Darash ben Petura. Ben Petura says better that they both should die. Mutav sheyishdu shneyem. Don't cause his death by not giving him water. Both of you are going to die now? Better that both of you drink and both of you die, because it's not enough to have either of you survive. Ben Petura says, better that both of you should die rather than one watch the other person die from dehydration. However, that's not the opinion that we passing like. Actually, Rabbi Akiva, believe me, Rabbi Akiva came along and said, no, this pasuk, and this is Rabbi Yochanan Dashin's this pasuk, v'chei ochicha imoch teaches us, v'chei ochicha imoch chayecha kodem l'chei chaverecha, that your life takes precedence over your friend's life. And if there's only enough water for one of you, so then you are entitled to keep the water for yourself, and Nebuch, the other guy, is going to die of dehydration because he doesn't have water, because only one of you can survive. Obviously, if both of you can survive, then you share the water. But if only one of you can survive, so then Rabbi Akiva says that you are entitled to keep the water for yourself, and Nebuch, the other person, is going to pass away. That's what Rabbi Yochanan does with the pasuk v'chei ochicha imoch. Why didn't the Gemara ask, what does Rabbi Elazar do with the psukim that Rabbi Yochanan brought down? So these were all drushas. They weren't necessarily the only way to dash in the pasuk. And Rabbi Elazar would simply say, no, I don't agree with that drusha of Rabbi Yochanan. This is a good break point. We're still in the middle of this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. And tomorrow we're going to go through many scenarios and many questions on the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. But this is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir.